Good morning, everybody. Today I'm going to continue in Acts. We're going to look at Acts chapter 8. And let me get all set up here. I got all this high-tech stuff. Today we're going to break it down into four sections. I bring my picture of Jesus because I usually have pictures of everybody in my wallet, and this one's too big, it doesn't fit, so I keep it in my... I'm not even sure that's Jesus, to be honest with you. But today we're going to be looking at four different sections in chapter 8. Let's see if I can see my notes here. The first one's going to be Saul's involvement in the stoning of Stephen. So if you remember from, was it last week that you did 7? Chapter 7, where Stephen gets stoned, he gets taken in, and he gets to speak, and he gets stoned. Well, we're going to complete that, and then we're going to go into Philip in Samaria, and we're going to look back at chapter 1 at something that Jesus said, and we're going to tie it all in, and then we're going to go look at Simon the sorcerer. That'll be our third topic, and then finally, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. So let's go ahead and open in prayer real quick, if you would. Please bow your heads. Father God, we pray, Lord, that you would give me the words, Lord, that you want me to speak, Father God, that I would not want to say anything but what you want to come out of my mouth, Lord. God, I pray that you give us the ears to hear your word, that we might accept it, receive it, and then pass it on to somebody else, Father God. I thank you, Lord, for this church. I pray blessings on this church. I pray that you would open the doors to so many more people that need to be in here, that need to feel your touch, God. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's go ahead and let's look at verses 1 through 3. So if we read Acts chapter 8, again, please excuse my high tech. It says, and Saul was there approving everything that they were doing. Okay? So Paul is not actually throwing the rocks. He's kind of the guy holding everybody's coat. But he's really telling them, go for it, go for it. And so in the next verses, he starts to gain momentum. He starts to get a crowd together, and they start going house to house looking for Christians, getting the Christians and putting them in jail. And he's got a lot going on in his head, and he's got a lot going on around him. And today, we have a lot going on around us, and that causes us to have a lot going on in our heads. You know, at work, I try to have conversations with people. You know, and we have a television in our little dining room there at work, and Fox News is on or CNN is on, and they're always sitting there looking at all the current events. And I don't know how many of you watch that kind of TV, but it just wears you out after a while. You know, you the other day my boss was coming in, she said, you know, I had to turn off the radio. I put on the news. It talked about a murder. It talked about a rape. It talked about women that had been abused and are now suing men. Just on and on. And as Saul was so adamant about just the things of the day, getting rid of those horrible Christians and doing all these things, sometimes we get caught up in the wrong things as well. And we're going to see later in Acts that Saul meets Jesus and things change for him. All of a sudden, his priorities are completely different. And I think too many times our priorities are wrong. You know, we go to work, we're talking about Trump, we're talking about Hillary, we're talking about Oprah now, we're talking about these actors, you know, these people that are raising their children in a cage in a house out somewhere, and we forget that we have good news. We have good news. You know, I love to hear good news. Anytime somebody calls me up and says, "Hey, I got good news," I want to hear it. Call me up and say, "Hey, I got really bad news." I don't want to hear it. You know, I don't want you to tell me that something happened to one of your loved ones. I don't want you to tell me that, you know, Chris called me up, "Hey, I got cancer and they're going to cut my leg." I don't want to hear that. I want to hear that, you know, Chris found a piece of paper on the floor. "Hey, it's a winning lottery ticket. I'm going to be a multimillionaire." You know, that's good news. We have better news. And as we read here, we're going to see that that was the case here. Even though Saul was out there doing what he was doing, there was something going on that had already been spoken of. And if, who has a Bible? Anybody have a Bible? Do me a favor. Go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Real quick. And just stand up and read away when you get it. This is Jesus talking. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus is still here. He hasn't left yet. His 40 days are still happening. And he tells him, he goes, "You guys are going to be my witnesses. Well, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you," which it already has. We saw that in chapter 5, I believe, or 3. And now he says, "Then you're going to go to Samaria and Judea." Okay, so let's go ahead and read. It says here, "On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout" where? Judea and Samaria. Isn't that something? Jesus told them, "You're going," and they went. And what else does it say there? "Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house. He dragged out off men and women and put them in prison." He didn't stop anybody. He didn't stop the good news, because you can't stop good news. Everybody wants to hear good news. You know, everybody wants to know that there's something better around the corner. And so as we read on, it says, "Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went." They preached the word wherever they went, even though they were being tormented, even though they were being harassed, even though the world around them was falling apart, just like today. There was plenty to be afraid of. There was plenty to be worried about. And yet, what did they have? They had the good news. So they went and they told people, "You know what? Olga, you don't have to be down in the dumps. There's good news for you. Doug, you don't have to be worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. There's good news for you." All of these people were going out and they were blowing people's minds. They were going out and they were saying, "Look, there is a better way. There is a way that you can move forward and be successful in life. Even in your deepest, darkest hour, you can be successful in life, because there's somebody who cares about you, somebody who died for you." Let's continue to read. "They all paid close..." Wait, hold on. "When the crowd heard..." Yeah. "When the crowd heard Philip..." Sorry about that. "And saw that the miracles, miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of them, of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in the city." We need to be praying for people. We need to be not worried about what God's going to do through us, but we need to rejoice that God's going to do things through other people, in other people's lives. You know, a lot of times people would say, "Hey," you know, they'd bring a guy, his eye was hanging out, to say, "Hey, can you pray for him so his eye can be healed?" I'd sit there and go, "Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know that I can pray that his eye will pop in." But it wasn't about me. See, I wasn't looking at the good news. I was looking at what I could do. And Jesus is telling us, look, I know the past, I know the future, I know where you're at now. Don't worry about all the clouds around you. You look to me, look to the Son. That worked out perfect, didn't it? Look to the Son and let me do the work. Nobody asks any of us to heal anybody, to change the lives of anybody. We are going out and we're just going to share what the Almighty can do in their lives. Let's continue to read. Let's go down to Simon the sorcerer. Now for some time a man named Simon had preached sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. You know, we have a lot of people today that are preaching a lot of things and amazing a lot of people, but they have no power. It's all magic. It's all trickery. And Simon here, this is what he's doing. But people, you know, they really believe it. They really believe that what he's doing is magic. I was watching a show a couple years ago of this one magician. He would, like, throw a card against a glass, and all of a sudden the card was on the other side of the glass. And then you'd see these girls running away scared, because, you know, it was kind of freaky. How do you throw something like a card at a glass and all of a sudden it pops up on the other side? It was magic. And, you know, and here Simon, he's using this, you know, to make some money, to gain some power, to do these things. But what he didn't realize is there was somebody coming named Philip. And so let's continue to read. Let's go down to verse 12. But when they believed, let's go up to verse 11. They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. So here he's astonished now because, you know, Philip is, he's casting demons out of people. He's healing people that are sick. He's doing all these things that the apostles had done. And, you know, let's back up for a second. Philip was hired to do what? Yeah. Pass out food. Him and Stephen and five other guys, the apostles said, look, this, we got too much work to do. We're going to get seven guys to help out with the food distribution. So this is what, you know, this is their, what they need to be doing. They have to be full of the Holy Spirit, and they have to be men of wisdom or knowledge. And so it was amazing because the apostles, they said, you know, no, don't get some kitchen help. We want guys that are full of Holy Spirit and knowledge. And now Philip, because everything has kind of moved out of town, Philip is out there doing what God has prepared him to do. He was willing to pass out food, and yet God said, okay, now we have a greater job for you. Don't ever worry about where you work. Don't ever worry about how much you know. Don't ever worry about where God has you today, because tomorrow is going to be a different day. And you might be, you know, working in the children's ministry at Brady, and all of a sudden God says, you know what? It's time to go. It's time to go. And you're reaching hundreds, maybe even thousands of people in other countries. And all of a sudden, God has changed your direction. But because you were full of the Holy Spirit and you were growing in knowledge, God has prepared you for these jobs, and then you go out and do it. And let me mention one other thing. It's okay to pray for knowledge. It's okay to ask God to teach you, to show you. God is a loving God. He wants to take you from one step to the next step to the next step. He doesn't want to jump you way ahead. He wants you to grow. He wants you to learn. He wants you to be patient with yourself so that when you do speak about him, you're perfectly fine with where you're at. You can share what you know, and God will use it. Let's continue. Where was I? Okay, 14. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon them, any of them. This is the second time now that Peter is praying for the Holy Spirit. If you remember back in chapter 2, they prayed on the day of Pentecost and received the Holy Spirit. And so Peter has now gone to the Samaritans, and he's going to pray for them. Little trivia question. How many can tell me how far away Samaria was from Jerusalem? I know Lauren knows, because she helped me put my notes together. Anybody? 16 miles. Why is that important? No reason. But it's like from Baldwin Park to L.A., that's about how far it is. So when you think about, oh man, they went to Samaria, it's only 16 miles. So, you know, they walked down there, they got there in a day or two. It was a small world, but yet it was still far for them. So they travel the 16 miles, they go down to Samaria, they're praying for people. And as they're praying for people, guess who shows up? Simon the sorcerer. And he sees Peter and John pray for the Holy Spirit for these people. And now, I don't know what happened here, but if we go back to the day of Pentecost, when they prayed, people thought they were drunk. People couldn't understand, how can this guy with a Galilean accent speak my language? Matter of fact, how can they be speaking all of our languages? It was a mind-blowing thing. It was like Doug and Dave all of a sudden get up and start speaking Swahili, you know, and then Chris jumps up and he starts speaking Mandarin. And it's like, wait a minute. These guys are Americans, and I don't think any of them know these languages, and they're speaking it. So now Peter comes to Samaria, prays for them, the Holy Spirit falls on these people, and Simon the sorcerer sees this. So being the man that he is, we're going to see just how he reacts to it. But before we do that, I want to go back to a story that was told by... who was preaching the last time I was here? Who was preaching the last time we were here? Who? Matt Kettle spoke about Ananias and Sapphira. How many of you remember when Matt spoke about Ananias and Sapphira? What happened to Ananias and Sapphira? Dave? They were struck dead. Peter said, what'd you do? And he said, well, we gave all our money. He said, did you give all your money? Yeah. Died right there because he lied. He didn't give all his money. His wife came in a little few minutes later and they said, hey, we have a question. Did you give all your money? Oh, yeah, we gave all our money. He said, you know what? Your husband just died. They took him out. They're going to take you out now. And she dropped dead. So let's keep that in our back pocket for a second as we read this. Okay, so when Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the hands, the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, give me also the ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands can receive the Holy Spirit. Peter, if you remember who Peter is, he's this gruff guy. He's got no tact. He's pretty tough dude. This is how he answers him. May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry, because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. So he lets him have it. You know, get away. You're not even part of our group. You know, all you care about is your money. And you know what? I pray that God, you know what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. So what does he say? Okay, so then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me." Can you imagine? Can you see this guy? He's all freaked out. Pray that God doesn't allow this to happen, you know, because it's Peter, Ananias, and Sapphira. When they had testified and proclaimed the word of the Lord, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. And so here we see that the work is being done. The word is going out. People are being pushed out to do what God has expected them to do. Jesus has told them, you're going to go to Samaria, you're going to go to Judea, and then to the ends of the earth. We're going to see in Acts from here forward that that's going to take place. In a matter of 20, 30 years, you're going to see all these things happening where people are going out, where Paul is going to different towns, and there are Christians there already. There's churches that are establishing their home churches that are establishing there. So now, finally, we're going to talk about Philip and the Ethiopian. Now, Philip and the Ethiopian is an interesting story because Philip is preaching and God tells him, I need you to get up and I need you to go. And Philip goes. He doesn't say, you know, God, I mean, we're building a church here. You know, things are getting on the ground. The Samaritans, the Judeans, they've received the Holy Spirit. I really don't think this is good timing. No, he gets up and he goes. And so as he's walking down this road from to Gaza from Jerusalem, how many miles is it from Gaza to Jerusalem? 60 miles. Okay, Jeopardy. That's all it's good for. So he's on this road. And here comes this Ethiopian. And this Ethiopian is not just any Ethiopian. He is part of the governing body in Ethiopia. He works for Candace, who is the leader there in Ethiopia. And as he's going by, he's reading the book of Isaiah. And so Philip runs up next to his chariot. He's got a chariot. And he's running up and he's like, "Hey, what are you reading?" And this guy's like, "How will I know unless somebody shows me what I'm reading?" And so Philip is like, "Dude, let me in and I'll tell you what's up." So let's go ahead and read that. So let's go down to, let's go to chapter 27 so we can kind of get to know the Ethiopian. So he started out and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important officer in charge of all of the treasury of Candace. So he was taking care of all the money for Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way back was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to the chariot and stay here and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the man and he told him, "What are you reading?" Let's go ahead and jump forward. Okay, let's go to verse 32. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. So he's reading this, and if you really kind of break that down, it's kind of a sad thing. You're like, man, this guy, he's getting the bad end of the deal. And so Philip shares with him what? What do you think Philip shared with him? The good news. The good news. Says, yeah, you know, this story sounds sad, but there's a happy ending. There's a happy ending. And the eunuch is so blown away by this that he receives Christ in his heart. And not only does he receive Christ, as they pass by, there's a body of water right next to him. He says, hey, what prevents me from getting baptized? Man, I want to be a part of the group. I want the whole enchilada, man. I don't just want part of it. So they go down to the water, and he's baptized. And when I was reading this, I thought, here's one man, but he's a high-ranking man. And I don't know how many other Christians were in Ethiopia at the time. But if there were none, and he was the first, then he spoke to a lot of people. Because in Ethiopia, in the last census that they did, the population there of Christians in Ethiopia was over 50%. And so we see that the gospel goes forward through one person, telling one person, telling one person. And so God doesn't ask us, you know, Becky, I want you to be the next Billy Graham. So, you know, go rent the Coliseum and get going. No, he says, you know what, Becky? Tell one person. Lauren, tell one person. Junior, God saved you. God protected you. Go tell one person. Just tell your story. Tell them the good news. The good news was, we didn't have to put you in. Not yet. There's people you got to tell. Many of us here, we're silent. We're silent. I can look at your Facebook, and guess what? I see your kids. I see your comadres. I see, all these other things, the food that you ate at McDonald's, you know, because you got a job there now. You know, I see all these things on your webpage. But let me ask you a question. Is there anything about the good news on that page? Is there anything that would help somebody, one person, to move forward on that page? Something to think about. I'm not calling you out or anything. I just want you to really think about what our priorities are. When you walk around mad all day, oh, man, Trump, that guy's a jerk. You know, the Democrats say, you know, hey, you know what, guys? The Lord tells us, pray for your leaders. If we spent more time praying for our leaders, they might be a little bit better at what they do. If I knew somebody was praying for me, I'd kind of go at it a little bit harder. And so we need to understand that God has a plan for us. And he calls it the gospel. He calls it the good news. He doesn't care about the things that are happening on the day-to-day. He wants to know, are you out doing my work so that I can take care of your work? Too many times we don't see anything in our lives that's good because we have our priorities all mixed up. And so with this message, I want to go over a few things in conclusion that we've kind of touched on, but I just want to emphasize a little bit more. Again, if you're more concerned with the day-to-day, you know, try to force yourself. Instead of putting the TV on, open your Bible. We had a great study yesterday at Panera in the men's breakfast or the men's book club. And those of you that don't come and you can come, and I understand that some people are not great readers. Some people, you know, struggle. We're not asking you to come out so we can make fun of you or anything. We want you to come out, and we want you to learn with us. Yesterday, we had a great study. We learned things that we would not have learned if we would have stayed home watching TV. And those are things that we can share with other people. Those are things that we can give freely as God has given freely to us. Secondly, be ready to preach the good news wherever you go. Be ready. Don't lose the ability to speak to people. You know, in the morning I get up and I pray, Lord, send somebody to me that I can share with. And when I do that, it never fails. Somebody will show up in my life that day, and they'll have a story. And the story is a bad story. It's a tragic story sometimes. You know, a girl at my work just recently told me, you know, my sister has stage 4 cancer. And she said, my husband went in to get operated on, and they found out he has cancer. This is a young, you know, she's in her 40s. She's got a 11, 12-year-old daughter. Everything ahead of her. And yet, there's no good news in her life. But because I had prayed that day, it stayed in my head. I remembered what I prayed, and I said, God, now this you opened the door for me. You know, this is perfect. And I got to share with her that there's hope. You know, and hope doesn't always come in a, you know, miraculous healing. You know, you touch them and all of a sudden they're 6 feet tall and, you know, and they have no limp and they're, you know, everything is great. Their teeth are straight. And it doesn't work that way. But, you know, one thing that Billy Graham, I heard he had said, when I die, don't pray for me. Don't cry for me. Don't do anything. He said, because all I'm doing is putting on a nicer suit and moving to a nicer place. So even in death, we can rejoice because we're going to a place that other people will never experience unless we share with them, unless somebody shares with them what the good news is. So, you know, pray. Pray. You don't have to, you know, get up and, well, let me go to work with my Bible. Hi, do you know Jesus? You know, you don't need to do that. People are hurting. We see that. We know that. There are people in Pico Rivera that are trying to figure out where they're going to live. You know, if you run across one of those people, share the gospel with them. Let's continue. I got a couple more points, and then I'll leave you guys alone. Okay, number three. Don't be taken by tricks of the world. God is the only way, and Jesus is the only way to God. So we see with Simon, he was tricking everybody, and everybody believed him, but he didn't. It was all fake. There was no substance. Philip came in, and he said, you get to be healed. You get to be healed. You get to be... And all of a sudden, people were getting well. People were seeing a difference in their lives. People were coming to know the Lord. There was substance there. Because God is substance. God wants us to know that he is the only way. And Jesus died to be the only way to him. And so we have to share that with people. And many of us, we get fooled by other things. We get fooled by people telling us things that we've not checked out for ourselves. How many of you remember what happened in Waco, Texas back in the 90s? What happened? What happened, John? Koresh. Okay, let me stop you right there, because that's exactly right. But the point that I'm getting to is that David Koresh set himself up as a spiritual leader, and yet he was only a sorcerer. Huh? That's right. That's right. And guess what? A whole lot of people died because they followed him. They said, "Oh, you're the leader. Okay, well, hey, I'll follow you." And he shared a lie to him because all it was sorcery. In Jamestown or Jonestown in Guyana, hundreds of people died because they drank the Kool-Aid. Remember, have you heard people say, oh, he took the Kool-Aid? Well, that's where it comes from, Jonestown, where Jim Jones took hundreds of people from San Francisco and said, we're going to go into the jungle and we're going to live our life of magic. Because there was nothing that God was involved in. But yet people followed because people are willing to follow. People want to hear good things. And it's a shame because we have the good news and it's like our little precious. Oh, no, no, I can't tell you. Well, what are you, why are you so happy? Oh, no, 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 you don't want to know. You know, and we get kind of, you know, gets a little freaky because it's, Dave, you're always so happy. Why is it? I can't tell you. You couldn't handle it. No, we share the gospel. We share the good news because everybody loves good news, right? Everybody loves good news. And finally, be ready to go. No fear. You may be asked to share with people who intimidate you. Share anyway. Stay open to God's leading. Pay attention to that still small voice. God doesn't jump out at you and scream, you know. He just doesn't do it. It's like, Eli, this is God. Go to Whittier and share it at Taco Bell. You know, he doesn't do that. He prepares you in your heart. He talks to you in that still small voice that isn't scary. And he sends you to people that you may not ever know what those people are going to become. Somebody shared with Billy Graham. Somebody shared with Spurgeon. Somebody shared with this Ethiopian. And things happened. People came to know the Lord. And Billy Graham, Spurgeon, they get the credit. But one guy or one girl went to them and said, "Do you know Jesus? Is he helping you to live a happy life, a fulfilled life, a life with purpose and meaning?" And that's all it took. And you may be speaking to that person, that next great preacher, that next leader of a country. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Go out and share it with everybody. These seats are way too empty, folks. Way too empty. With the amount of people that are hurting in the world, we should have these seats full. We had a men's breakfast a few weeks back, and there was a lot of hurting guys there. There was a lot of guys that needed to just kind of unload and unwind and spend time with other guys, and a lot of them have scars. A lot of them I knew, and they were scarred, you know, battle scars. And so with that, I would ask that if we could all just bow our head for a second and just be in prayer. And I want to ask you, is your life empty of good news today? Is your life one of fear instead of victory? Are you concerned about what's going to happen to the world and it's just really got you thrown off? Jesus said, In Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all of you that are tired and weary, and you got a big load on your back, and I'll give you rest. You know, hook up with me, take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, because I'm meek. I'm there for you." And so today, if there's somebody here who doesn't know the good news, if there's somebody here who knows the good news, but you just haven't really paid attention to it, and you just feel like beating your head against the wall, you're scared, I want you to come up, and I would ask Chris, and I don't know, do we have Juan and Dave maybe? I want you to come up and have them pray for you, because there's no need to be that way. Is there anybody here? Just get up right now out of your chair if you have to. Okay, thank God. Thank you, Lord. Then that means that we should all be sharing. We should all be sharing. Anyway, I want to thank you all. Chris?